Our scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel according to Luke. We read Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 27 and reading through the end of the chapter, through verse 56. Luke 23, beginning at verse 27. Our text is found in verse 46. Verse 27, "And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things that were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day, according to the commandment. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. The text that we consider this morning is found in the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Luke 23, verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, every single word that Jesus spoke from the cross, and we could say his whole life, but every single word he spoke from the cross, he spoke for our teaching and our comfort. Jesus could have been completely silent as he suffered, but he wasn't. Out of love and concern for his people, he spoke seven words or seven sayings from the cross. When he was first placed on the cross by the soldiers who participated in his death, he prayed, Father, forgive them, thinking of his elect who were participating in that crucifixion, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we find the answer to that prayer when the centurion at the end of the crucifixion would declare, certainly this was a righteous man. Secondly, Jesus would show that he cares for unworthy sinners. One of the thieves on the cross who recognized by God's grace that he was a sinner deserving of the punishment that he had, asked Jesus to remember him when Jesus came into his kingdom. Jesus says to him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The third word that Jesus spoke shows his care and concern for his mother, who would be left alone when Jesus died. So Jesus says to his mother, Behold, woman, behold thy son. Speaking to John, he says, Behold thy mother. Then it turned dark on the cross, and Jesus, in the middle of that torment that he experienced, would call out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the fourth word that Jesus spoke as he experienced God's cursing word of wrath that was being poured out upon him. So much was that curse that he experienced that he did not call God his Father anymore, but he simply said, My God, my God. The fifth word that Jesus spoke as he came out of those torments expresses the nature of that suffering. He says, I thirst. Not just a horrible physical thirst, but he had an unquenchable spiritual thirst as he had experienced those torments. And when Jesus had finished making the payment for the ransom for all the sins of all of his people, then he would cry out, It is finished. That was the sixth word from the cross. And finally, with that number of perfection, with the number of the covenant, Jesus speaks out the last word from the cross, the last sentence, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. As we consider this last word that Jesus spoke from the cross, we ought to see again that Jesus spoke these words, these particular words, for our benefit, for every one of his saints who would one day face death. He spoke these words as our covenant head. And therefore, even as we ourselves face the prospect of death, we can say the same thing. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Other saints have said the same throughout history. Let's consider those words then this morning. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. First, let's note that these are conquering words spoken by someone who is in control. Secondly, let's note that they were confident words. And lastly, comforting words for God's people. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Conquering, confident, and comforting words. We ought to notice in the first place that Jesus, when he speaks these words, is using the words that David used some 1,000 years earlier. In Psalm 31, verse 5, we read, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Jehovah, God of truth." You understand, it wasn't simply that David was quoting, or rather that Jesus was quoting David at an appropriate circumstance. We could say that's true, but that's not all that Jesus was doing. Rather, who was it that spoke the words through David in the first place? It was Jesus Christ who inspired David to speak these words before, and now the same Christ speaks those words again. And when Jesus speaks the words of our text in Luke 23, this time he pours new meaning, greater meaning, into the words that David once spoke. You see, David spoke those words, "Into thy hand I commit my spirit." David spoke those words in confidence as he faced great distress, knowing that he was redeemed. "Thou hast redeemed me," David said. David speaks of his confidence in God because he belongs to his God because he was redeemed. But now Jesus speaks those words as the one who was making the payment. David looks forward to the payment. Jesus is speaking them as he had just made the payment for the sins of all his people. "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." These words that Jesus spoke are conquering words. They are words spoken by not somebody who was vanquished by his suffering, not somebody who was giving in to an inevitable death that he tried to avoid but could not. It's not as if the cruel cross finally got the better of Jesus so that he finally had to give in to that death. I suppose people do that when they face death. They cling to life with every ounce of strength that they can muster, hoping that death will not come knocking. It's not hard to find discussions these days on the internet of people who fear death, who have panic attacks because they think of death. They might be 30 years old or 20 years old, and they're thinking of death, and they have these panic attacks Just thinking forward to the possibility of what is on the other side. And so they cling to life. They try to do everything possible to put off death as long as possible. They take their vitamins. They try to live a healthy life and whatnot because they so fear death. But they cannot keep themselves. They cannot keep themselves from death. Eventually, death comes knocking. Unbelievers, especially, try to cheat death as long as they can, fearing what will happen to them. But even believers can fall into that trap. We wonder, what is going to happen in death? But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus, as he hung on the cross, was not trying to hold on to life as long as he could. We saw that. We've seen that in the past, how Jesus deliberately went up into Jerusalem. He knew what was coming. He knew that when he went into Jerusalem, he would be delivered over to the Jews. He knew he would face the cruel death of the cross. He knew that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he sweat those great drops of blood. He knew it. But he did not run in the opposite direction. Jesus' words express the opposite idea. These were not words of somebody who was conquered by his suffering, but rather they are words of somebody who has conquered his suffering. Someone who had conquered and would conquer death. When Jesus says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," he shows that he is the one who is in complete control of his life as well as his death. Jesus knew exactly why he hung on the cross. He was there to suffer the torments of hell in our place. And now when the whole ransom price had been paid, when Jesus had suffered all the curse that we deserved, when he had rendered all the obedience that his Father had commanded him to give, then Jesus first said, "It is finished, it is accomplished." And now in our text, Jesus willingly passes into the state of death as regards his body. He surrenders his soul into the hands of his Father. "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Jesus deliberately entrusted, handed over his soul into his Father's hands. Not literally, of course, but figuratively, he entrusted his soul to his Father's hands. That comes out in the parallel accounts as well. When Jesus in John chapter 19, verse 30, we read, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." The ghost, his soul, didn't just slip away all by itself. He gave it up. He delivered his soul, would be another translation. He delivered his soul. Where? Into the hands of his Father. He gave his soul over. Matthew 27, verse 50. Matthew 27, verse 50. "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Literally, that word in the Greek is he dismissed, he sent away the spirit. He sent away his soul. This was a deliberate act of Jesus after the ransom price had been paid. So again, it was not suffering and death that was in control of Jesus, but it was Jesus who was in control of his suffering and death. Isn't that what Jesus expressed throughout his ministry? He was the one who was in control of laying down his life. John chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus says, in that important chapter on the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep, he says this, and verse 17 as well, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus had authority and the power to determine his life and his death. His words are not the words of somebody who is giving up. They are the words of a conqueror who was in control of his death. He himself would determine the last minute of his life. Of course, we ourselves, we don't have that authority to determine the hour of our death. Some people take their lives sinfully, wickedly, in their lives. We don't have that authority to do that. But God does. God has the authority to determine when He will take our breath away, when we will die and return to the dust. And now the question is, when we see our death approaching, and the older we get, the faster we see it approaching, do we look at the truth of our death through the eyeglasses of Scripture? Through the eyeglasses even of these words that Jesus spoke? Do we look at death knowing that God has conquered death? Do we look at death then as conquerors in Jesus Christ? Is that the way we look at death? Romans chapter 8, the apostle expresses that truth. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. And then he goes on to list some of those things in life and in death. We are more than conquerors. How are we more than conquerors? Through Him that loved us. Through Him who went through the suffering that He did on the cross. Jesus, the conqueror, was persuaded that His death would not separate Him from God's love. He commended His soul into God's fatherly hands. By God's grace, that ought to be our persuasion too. Now, I don't say that we have the same degree of persuasion that Jesus had. He was sinless and perfect. We fall far short. And the devil plants doubts in our minds. What? Can it really be that there is life after death? The devil plants those thoughts in our minds. But then we come back to the Word, and we come back to these very words of Jesus Christ. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. There is life after death, and our souls will be taken to be with our Savior when we die. When we fall short, when we doubt, we ought to pray that God would give us the grace to believe that we are more than conquerors. Well, having that persuasion, Jesus spoke those last words also in confidence, with great confidence. That's in contrast to the deriding of the Jews. The wicked Jews depicted Jesus in a completely opposite way to the truth. In Matthew 27, and the parallel accounts have similar words recorded, but Matthew 27, verse 43, we read, he trusted in God. Here's while Jesus is up on the cross and they are scorning and making fun of him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he, that is Jesus, for he said, I am the Son of God. Throughout Jesus' ministry, of course, Jesus had claimed to be in the Father's favor. But now the Jews said he's not in the Father's favor. The Jews placed Jesus in the middle of the two thieves, one on either side, as an indication that Jesus was the worst of them all. And now they derided him, as if to say, if God was so favorable towards you, if God was so favorable towards Jesus, well then let God deliver him now from the cross. Let God take him off the cross. If God was pleased to call him his son, as Jesus says, and if God truly delights in him, let God show it. Let God show it so we can see it. In essence, the Jews were saying, not even God can help him now. Not even God can help him. God won't help him. You see how the Jews made his situation into an utterly hopeless situation? That's the way they depicted Jesus' situation. Utterly hopeless. And to be sure, Jesus suffered unspeakable torments on the cross. As God poured out his wrath upon Jesus for our sins, Jesus experienced unspeakable torments. The cross that Jesus hung on reminded him that he was experiencing God's curse. Cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree. And there Jesus was hanging on a tree with the guilt of all his people. We'll never understand completely. Maybe we can scratch the surface a little bit what Jesus experienced. The agony of the darkness that he experienced as he was forsaken by God. When he would cry out from that darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We can maybe scratch the surface. Maybe we can understand a little bit the shame that he experienced as our guilt was placed upon him, a perfectly righteous man suffering on the cross. I say the wicked Jews made Jesus' situation to be utterly helpless. And it's true again that in the midst of Jesus' torments, he was unable to call God his Father. He would simply say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Not that the truth had changed, not that Jesus was not the Son of God anymore, but in the midst of being forsaken, he had no experience of fellowship with God in the midst of suffering that curse. But now everything had changed. By the time we get to our text, everything had changed. He had gone through those torments. But now the storm had come to an end. And once again, Jesus could call God Father. And he knew it. And in that confidence, he would say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He knew that he could safely entrust his precious spirit, his soul, into his Father's hand. He knew that following the agony, there was the delight of glory. He knew that following his humiliation would be his exaltation. He knew that following the curse would be God's blessed favor. So yes, the Jews derided him, saying he trusted in God, let God deliver him. Now Jesus' words expressed the idea, as it were. Yes, I do trust in God. And yes, He will deliver me. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Why could Jesus say that? Because the work had been finished. The justice of God had been satisfied. God had already poured out upon him the last drop of that full cup of wrath for all the guilt that lay upon him, all the guilt of each and every one of his people. God had poured that out. The cup was empty. Jesus could call out, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. We can, beloved, have the same confidence, can we not, in our death? Not because we ourselves have made the payment, but because Jesus Christ has made that payment. We may not know the time of our death, as Jesus knew the time of his death, but we may have the same confidence. I don't say the same degree because our faith is never perfect, but we may have the same confidence that Jesus had so that we can say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. To know that God pities us when we are facing death. He looks upon us as a father and that we can safely entrust to him our souls. Yes, our bodies will lie in the grave until the day of the resurrection, but our souls will be delivered. And they will go to be immediately with our Lord in heaven above. From this valley of tears, God will take us to the place where every tear is wiped away. And through death, God will deliver us from sickness and sorrow, and he will bring us into glory, where we shall fellowship with him in heaven above. How can we have that confidence? Again, because of what Jesus did. Because he suffered the torments already in our place. It has been finished. Those words, therefore, are comforting words. Those words Jesus spoke from the cross. We mentioned that already, that he spoke them as the head of the church, as the head of his people. And although Jesus was certainly talking about his own soul, yet whatever is true of Jesus, because he was the covenant representative of all his people, what Jesus speaks here on from the cross applies to every one of us. It's true of the church. If Christ can say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, we can say that too. If Jesus could confidently look forward to passing into glory, we can look forward also to passing into glory. Now, I don't say that it's going to be easy sailing. There may be storms, as it were, at the end of our life. But God will take us into the haven where He would have us be. And we can look forward to that, to the time when He takes us into that safe haven. The Puritans in days gone by, and many saints today, also look to that, those verses in Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 29 and 30, speaks of those that go down to the sea in ships and face great storms. There's a picture of our lives in that. Verse 29, Psalm 107, verse 29, then says, He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. That desired haven, of course, is heaven, is the fellowship of glory that God has for each and every one of His people. God will bring us there. We ought to confidently look forward to that. Jesus wants us to have that comfort as we face death. That's one of the reasons that He spoke the words that He did from the cross, because He wants us to have comfort as we face death. As we said, He could have spoken them under His breath. He could have said them silently if it only had to do with Himself. But He wanted us to hear them. He wanted the people around Him to hear those words. And He wanted them to be recorded. The translation that we have perhaps makes it sound like, first, Jesus cried with a loud voice, and then He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. The original brings out the fact that it was the loud crying voice that spoke these words. Jesus said these words with a loud voice. He believed. That shows He believed. He was confident in what He said, but He wanted us again to hear those words. I say we ought to have that comfort too. We go back to Psalm 31. David spoke those same words. Yes, they were looking forward to Christ, but David also spoke them for himself. In the midst of great troubles, David says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. And then he gives the reason. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Thou hast redeemed me. And God is the God of truth. He will not go back on His word. He has promised salvation to His people. David spoke those words in great trial. What about Stephen? Stephen, as he was being stoned, in Acts 7, verse 59, we read this, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Same idea. Lord Jesus, I commend my spirit into thy hands, as it were. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, that probably the last epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote as he was facing the prospect of his execution. He writes of that. He says that he will soon face death. And then he says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know that God is able to keep my soul, which I have committed to him against that day. God will take my soul to be with him in glory, and my body one day will be reunited with my soul on that day, on the final day, the day of resurrection. You see, every saint ought to be able to say those words, to pray with that comfort. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Because God will take our souls to the haven where we would be. He will keep that which we have committed unto him. Finally, Jesus' words give us comfort because they help us to look forward to that day. Because Jesus expresses what will happen on that day. It's not just a day of nothingness, but Jesus commends his soul into God's hands, into the bosom of God, into fellowship with God. If God created us, and he did, he created us by his powerful word, if he redeemed us with the precious blood of his only begotten Son, if he has begun a work in us through the working of his powerful Spirit, renewing us in the image of Jesus Christ, if he has given us the earnest of the Spirit, can it be otherwise? If he has done all those things, then certainly he will also take our souls into glory when we die. We ought not doubt, but God will take us into everlasting glory. He will take our souls into heaven. And on the final day, he will raise our bodies as well and join them together with our souls, and we shall be forever with him in paradise. Jesus himself has gone before us. May we look forward to that day. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for these comforting words spoken by our Savior on the cross. May we remember those words, and may we be taught by thee more and more to take our eyes off of this world and set them on that future glory which thou hast prepared for us. Forgive us for our sins. Lead us and guide us, we pray, in this valley of tears. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.